You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and every body. The weather is getting warmer and it's time to swap my winter layers for fun, vibrant, and cool clothing. With so many fun things happening this spring, like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, it's hard to find great looking clothes that fit you just right. That's why I love JCPenney. JCPenney has so many stylish and comfortable options for so many different body types. I've been blown away by their selection and everything hugs my body in all the right spots. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with style that gets you. Something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
The Around the NFL Podcast. Three bozos going absolutely nowhere.
From the Chris Wessling Podcast Studio, it's Around the NFL. That was necessary. It was time to take a little air out of the balloon in this room. Dan Hans is here, Greg Rosenthal, Mark Sessler.
That was just an op-ed from Jason Zummel.
Right. Totally getting, off book.
It's definitely getting high off our own supply season.
This is our 2023 season predictions and awards show. How fun is that? Where we're going to go through all our picks that you actually, you could read about on NFL.com. Ali Bonpuri and the team put together a nice rundown of all the, analysts, a list that includes Judy Batista, Jeremy Bergman. How about that? Eric Edholm, new power rankings guy. Michael F. Florio. Not the other Mike Florio.
Our Mike Florio.
The real one.
Leslie Frazier. MJD. Steve Mariucci. Nick Shook. Brandon Walker. Hard Knocks guy. And last but not least, Dan Hansis. Greg Rosenthal. And Mark.
I got this in just before deadline. So imagine if I had not been included in this exercise.
I was hoping everyone would get it in. Last year, not everyone got it in. I was meaning to look up who didn't get it in last year because it wreaked havoc with this episode a year ago.
I don't who was it?
It's probably you.
I did get it in personally. I know that I had to ask for an extension.
Do I have to look it up?
It probably was me. We don't need to look it up. Maybe
late.
You're right. It was probably me. I don't really remember.
It was probably me, and yet you tried to put me.
Well, now once I thought about it, let's just move on. I mean, yes, it is cool to be making picks alongside Maurice Jones-Drew overrating his employer for like the seventh straight year. But I get it.
Oh,
you mean the Rams?
He works for the Rams.
Yeah.
And he doesn't even work for the Jaguars. He's just a fan. He always overrates them too. But I think he nailed them last year because they had a nice little season.
Mark, you and I participated last year in this exercise.
Okay.
I
missed it.
It's called being a professional.
Right.
At your workplace.
Because you know, for Greg not to do this a year ago meant he was blowing off emails from
Tom
Blair, Gennaro Felice, all those great people.
Don't have time for you peoples who operate in cubicles and desks.
And then he tried to brush this off as something we shouldn't even talk about by saying, oh, it's probably you, Dan.
I believe that in the moment, and then I thought about it, and I was like, actually, that sounds like something I would do.
You need to get going. Mark, I know you, before the show, you're getting a little jittery.
Not unlike the two of you, I have multiple responsibilities in the city, on the planet, and have somewhere with a tight deadline. And, you know, we've done a lot of things today and we took a big long lunch in the middle. And so I really enjoyed that. But then it suddenly started a clock watch a little bit. Had a, got to move, got to be places.
I'm expecting clipped answers from Mark here during the show.
Because we began with a fair
MVP.
Amount of time.
It's Patrick Mahomes. Of course it is.
Next. So we're going to try to get through this in a decent amount of time for Mark, you to handle all the adult responsibilities that you had.
I only care about I did not say that you don't have these responsibilities. But if you did.
Did he say that?
If one of you had the responsibility, we would have cranked this thing. We would have been going 35 minutes ago.
We do have responsibilities. Yeah. Right now, our responsibility is to the audience.
That is what I was about to say, is that I care about the listener and the co-hosts that I work with.
I think you care about driving 54 miles per hour out of this building in exactly 44 minutes.
I care about that too.
Not as fast as he'll be out of the studio running. He just, whew.
We got to start getting a camera on Mark exiting the studio or any of our shadowy league figure meetings. It's become my favorite.
There was a classic one on Monday where, you were through that glass door and it was just like.
The chair was spinning.
Look, I had 20 terrible corporate jobs and I became involved in this industry to not do corporate meetings. So I have to learn on my tolerance to rise it because I'm not acclimated to that.
We do that out of respect for you. We don't give you a hard time about it because usually in those meetings, Greg and I then have another 10 minutes where the bosses still want to talk post meeting.
Yeah. But
you
usually
ever think
about
that we're taking that bullet for you every single time?
Well, no, I've stayed to the end of many of them, first of all. It's a lot of then we start talking about like pickleball and like you know what softball game someone why are we doing this? Why are we here? Anyways.
Big question.
I'm adding multiple minutes to the show with the complaints. So.
We are actually gonna tackle that on the Metaphysical podcast. What are we doing here?
Right now we're gonna pick yes, our predictions and awards for the season. This is once it's on digital print for NFL.com, you can't go back on it. And then you go back.
I think I already did.
At the end of the season, and you know, listen, I remember Greg with his whole like, oh, I picked the Eagles thing. Remember, we couldn't.
Yeah, I do.
And we couldn't stop hearing about that. And it's because Greg in his back pocket, and that's not even a shot on you, Greg. You knew you had this article in the digital archive that you could point to forever.
For the Eagles. Whoa. I like that.
So you're right. Now we have an opportunity once again to be as annoying as Greg was a year ago.
That's all you're going for in this sort of exercise, an opportunity to be annoying in the future. And it can go on and on.
Mm-hmm.
And they offer this thing mid-season where you can go back and change all your picks.
I think we should
all just say there's none of that happening.
I always decline that one, but not out of disrespect for my colleagues.
No.
Like Greg last year. because I stand on, what did Will Smith say in Concussion? To tell the truth. I tell the truth here. I don't need to rewrite history in the middle of the season. I'm either going to be right or wrong, probably wrong, but that's the fun of it. Let's get to it.
We don't mention that movie.
Yeah, out of loyalty to the employer, I never went and saw that. Didn't buy a ticket.
Don't believe it.
There's that.
Don't believe anything.
And there was like this Patriots player in the early aughts.
Shh.
An off-field story we'd never mention.
Shush. All right, let's get to it. Let's do it this way. Let's start by talking awards.
Okay.
Okay. And then we'll get to the picks for the divisions, wild cards, and then close with our Super Bowl picks. Which way do we want to go? Let's go from down to up. Let's start with Coach of the Year.
Mm-hmm. All right.
All right. And this is an interesting one. Let me throw out, first of all, the NFL.com consensus was my boy, Robert Saleh. And I get it. The idea that 7 first place votes were votes on NFL.com. Saleh, and who's plus 1600 according to what is the is DraftKings they're using here? Caesars? I think it's Caesars. Anyway, Saleh got the most votes. None of us, though, voted for Saleh. Take that, all you people.
If you ain't got no haters, you ain't popping.
But I get it as a choice. I went with Mike Tomlin, and he was the second place vote. And that might be teasing some of my picks later on. But I think that Tomlin. who's plus 1800, by the way. Tomlin has never won Coach of the Year. Would you believe that?
Wow.
And I kind of would, actually. I think this it sort of tilts towards new faces.
I like that choice by you, plus 1,800.
For a guy who has been around forever, who is on a Hall of Fame trajectory, that is now building up another team that could be ready to make noise this year. And remember when Leo finally got the Oscar for The Revenant, I believe it was, and it was by far
his
greatest performance. So it was like, it was time. We got to make up for the same thing.
Denzel Washington.
With Marty Scorsese.
Yeah.
They gave it to him for The Departed, which is a fun movie, but not special, like, say, Goodfellas or Raging Bull or Taxi Driver.
Course correction.
Even if the Steelers win 10 games and they're a wild card team, I think they give it to Mike Tomlin and say, Mike, good job. We recognize you finally. This is his revenue.
Needs more than that, I think, to win Coach of the Year. I think he'd need to win the division or need to win 12 games and somehow get boxed out in that division. Because now the expectations.
Who says I don't have Mike Tomlin winning the division?
Right, sure. I think that's what he'll need because we've had Cognoscenti, like Mark, leading the pack here that actually have elevated the expectations enough that I don't think the seven seed would be enough for Tomlin to do it. But I love that choice. I sort of wish that was my choice. This is the award that has the most differing opinions. 14 different people got votes here, and no more than 7 out of 30 plus voters.
I think it's going to be a tough road for Tomlin unless they have like a 3 or 4 game spike and win the division.
What do you have?
I have Arthur Smith. I think he fits the narrative of how this award goes out because it's like, the Falcons have been competent under him. We've talked about them a ton, so I don't even need to reiterate it all. But like,
please don't.
There's a vision, and I think he's going to fulfill it. I think they're going to make the playoffs. They're going to be a fun team and a completely different version of the Falcons than we've seen for a long time. And it's kind of like Arthur Smith, newer face, gets a lot of votes.
So he actually is one of the favorites, depending on where you look on Caesars, as we're listing on the. On the website, he's plus 1,000, which is one of the favorites. I hate it when people say, like, oh, Dan Campbell's the favorite to win Coach of the Year, and then if he doesn't win it, it's like, oh, yeah, he was the favorite. It's like, yes, but he's plus 850, which is an 8-to-1 odds. It's like even calling the Lions the favorite in the NFC North, you should understand, like, actually the odds say it's more likely one of the other three teams, you know, the field wins over the Lions, but they are the most likely. So Coach of the Year is one of those awards where there's a million people with a chance. And I took one of the bigger long shots. I didn't realize it. Plus 4,000. I got Ron Rivera, which, yes, is obviously giving away a little something because I actually think he fits a narrative, too, with what's going on in Washington. If he can save his job and if he can make the playoffs, I think he would be a very popular figure. He's popular with the media, and that would be a great little story.
He has the backstory because everyone knows he's kind of on thin ice here and maybe not even all by his own doing, just the change and tumult around Washington. Okay. I think they're all good picks. Comeback player of the year. This is interesting. So 22 votes for in NFL media for Damar Hamlin. It's crazy to me that anybody else would vote for anyone. Other than Damar Hamlin,
one really stands
unless
out.
They, unless they forget that Damar Hamlin nearly died on the football field, and now he's on the Buffalo Bills this season as a football player. What were you going
to
say?
Well, no, I think it's either you forgot or you're really trying to be a tad extra by picking someone else. Like I think this is a person that's going to essentially fulfill the concept of a comeback. But Calvin Ridley wiped off the face of the earth for gambling, essentially. Is a weird comeback story that I think the NFL would not.
He got six votes.
He got the second most amount of votes, and I thought the little extra star at the bottom, the asterisk, which notes that Caesars isn't even offering betting lines at Comeback Player of the Year. So I think that speaks to this is a weird, uncomfortable award to bet on generally, but especially with Damar Hamlin. But other places are putting up odds for this.
And Adam Schein, come back to us.
Right, and Damar Hamlin actually is a huge favorite to win this award. So there's something awkward about this, but he got all three of our votes.
He's going to win. The only
Six
other one.
Six people went Ridley. Oh, John Metchie would make some sense. Is that what you're going to say?
The only other person, John Metchie, obviously battled leukemia after being a second round pick of the Texans, and he's going to be in the mix for Houston this year. I mean, Breece Hall, sure. Tua got a vote here.
Odell.
Okay. Beckham. Lamar. Come on. Do not give away Comeback Player of the Year award to somebody who just was okay as a player and missed, you know, 4 or 5 games.
Christian Gonzalez voted for Tua as the comeback player of the year. This is not, and I've done some digging, it's not the Christian Gonzalez that was taken 17th overall by the Patriots.
No, he's not working for
us. It's a digital content producer, and he went Tua.
Defensive rookie of the year. Let's see. Hanzus.
I'm sorry.
That's funny. Hanzus voted with the majority here at Jalen Carter, the defensive tackle of the Philadelphia Eagles. I just think it's been proven that the Eagles know how to assimilate these talented players and get the most out of them. And even if he doesn't play a huge amount of snaps as a rookie, they're going to find a way to make it count. And he's obviously studly coming out of college. So he was my pick. Who did you guys go with?
So I am one of two people, along with Nick Shook, so I feel good about this, that went with, again, Steelers theme, Joey Porter Jr. I just feel like...
all the way in on these Steelers.
Well, first of all, I was banging the table for the Steelers to take Joey Porter back in the draft, because it's like, don't bypass the son of a Steelers legend. Just take him. I think it's going to work. And I think cornerback is the kind of thing where you make a couple big splash plays, you got a chance to get those votes.
Now, history says it's usually won by a pass rusher or a linebacker. So Dan voting Carter makes sense. I do think he might struggle to get a, you know, more than 50% of snaps. He could still win Rookie of the Year with that, but there's just so many good players. Will Anderson got 11 votes, so almost as many as Carter. I went with Brian Branch, safety slash nickel. It'd be pretty rare for a second-round player in the secondary, but we did get 3 votes.
How?
He's had such a good camp and preseason that maybe we're getting 2. But he's also the kind of guy who's got to make splash plays. I think interceptions, sacks,
need it.
Like kind of like a Mike Hilton but playing safety type where he's just in the mix with big plays on a team everyone likes, the Lions. So I went Brian Branch. But history would say Anderson and Carter make a lot of sense.
That's a nice dart throw. The homer in me really wanted to go with Will McDonald, who got 2 votes in this exercise as well, but I managed to rein it in. That was really
amazing. And you reined it in on Saleh, too. I mean, this is again, the integrity is just shining.
Anderson is the favorite, by the way. The Jalen Carter is the number 2 betting favorite. And then Christian Gonzalez, the Patriot, is 3rd. Tyree Wilson and Devin Witherspoon after that.
Got it. Offensive rookie of the year. This is a runaway in terms of NFL media voting. 26 of the 34 votes went to Bijan Robinson.
Can't get too cute.
However,
he got cute. Danny
got a little cute.
Well, this makes sense, though.
I got a little cute because what's the one thing that could take out Bijan Robinson?
Quarterback.
A quarterback.
Yeah.
And how about a quarterback that potentially throws for 3,000 and runs for 10 rocks?
10 rocks? Is that how we're talking?
Hey, that's how I talk over here. No?
I like that. If you were going to pick one of the 3 quarterbacks, Richardson is actually longer odds in Vegas than Bryce Young. And I agree with you. He would be the most likely rookie quarterback to win Rookie of the Year because I think he could just put up 1,200 yards on the ground and be highlight worthy.
CJ Stroud didn't even get a vote out of the 34 in our ballot.
Yeah,
it's going to be a tough team to be.
I felt great about Bijan. I've been riding the Bijan as a top 3 or 4 fantasy pick. I think he could lead the league in rushing or close to it. So I love Bijan Robinson.
Did you happen to notice Jack and Harry Hanses took Bijan Robinson number 1 overall in our kids?
Well, you had the 11th pick and he fell that far. And like many of Jack and Harry, quote unquote, pick, I was like, wow, this team has drafted
remarkably well.
Incredibly well. Mm. Marauders. I would go as far to say the preseason favorites in this league from what I saw. When they say, you know how they do the thing afterward where they do a draft recap where they predict your record?
Right.
I mean, I bet it was like 14-1 or some nonsense. I was just like, every time there was great picks, I looked up and it was old Jack and Harry. You know, these
2 things you need to know.
How heavily involved were you? Obviously, heavily involved.
I'll tell you a couple things. First of all, the projections, which are pretty bad. Something we need to work on here. Have us finishing 3-11.
Wait, so, really?
Yeah, but that whatever.
I'm shocked because I really did think your draft was terrific.
In my league of a record, I once had a prediction of 0-13, and I won the league with.
Okay, so yeah, they don't matter.
So yeah, but second of all,
AI.
If my sons were very, you know, my youngest is 6 years old. If I left it up to them, it would have been Aaron Rodgers' first pick.
Yeah,
Garrett Wilson's second pick. They would have tried to pick Sauce 3rd pick. and then they would have walked outside and played soccer. Okay. And like, what? So I am there to help them.
Okay.
And for instance, Aaron Rodgers coming off the board in round four is absurd. When he should be there in round
10. But it's not in this league, which are mostly kids. Justin Fields went third overall or something. People are doing crazy picks. I helped.
But also, you turn your child into a football-loving cyborg.
I didn't turn him.
So, like, he has much more knowledge.
But he still made crazy picks. He got upset when I entered the room, though, and tried to help him. But I did help my daughter, Ellis.
What was the anecdote you told about your son a couple shows ago? You remember it? About Walker, which is beautiful and cute, and I love it. But what does he do now? What's his new thing he does?
He took what? That he took Brady and Mac Jones back to back.
No. Second round. In terms of watching highlights, watching games.
He turns on NFL Plus and starts scrolling through old games. I don't know which story.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
You've created yourself. It's not even
a company man. It's a company child.
But he's just like that. It did make me proud from year one to year two. He didn't want my help this year, and he did a much better job.
I wouldn't say
it was an adult job, but much
better. My boys aren't there yet.
No.
That's the point.
Alice wasn't either. I give her like an option of a handful of people, and she picks it. So.
All right. Where were we there? Oh, yeah.
I have no idea.
Sorry. Dad corner there. Zay Flowers got a vote. I think that was a nice
That's Jeremy Bergman. He's going outlier.
That's
there.
A fun little plus 1600 vote.
That's good.
Jerry Bergman. Is he going by that now?
No, but you might want to think about it.
Bijan is plus 275 to get it. I like that one.
So what does that mean? If you put down $100 on Bijan, what do you make?
You get 275.
Oh, that makes sense. That's a bad bet, though.
Well, also, you're not allowed to. You particularly would not.
That's
be.
That's how I don't know.
Yes.
I don't do those things. But
Greg seems plugged in.
Well, we're just listing what we're listing on the website. That's got to be allowed.
Defensive player of the year. Let's see. The number one vote getter is Micah Parsons of the Dallas Cowboys. You got 19 of the votes, including
boring.
From Greg Rosenthal.
Love this.
Mark Sessler went with.
I was the lone individual in the entire organization that voted for Sauce Gardner. And I love it.
God bless you, Charles.
It has an absolute chance of happening if the Jets are on television 4,000 times and he has like three pick sixes and wins a game with a pick six. And he's sort of just Darrell Revis 2.0.
He has been positioned as that type of star.
And they never
gave everything.
They never gave Darrell Defensive Player of the Year, which was an absolute travesty. But if he wins Defensive Rookie of the Year and then Defensive Player of the Year, year one, two, we're talking about a potential legend of the position.
It is a stretch. I think it's a little bit tough. It's going to be tougher versus some of these TJ Watts and Parsons and Miles Garrett's of the world.
I am buying, and I think this is my favorite pick of all my picks in terms of, like, look, even though he's the most likely guy, Parsons, he's still plus 450. And to me, I think he's got room to grow. We heard about it all offseason. I just think there's another gear for him to go, and he's already one of the best defensive players I've ever seen. So I love me some Micah Parsons this year.
And I've always been a fan of Myles Garrett and his upside. And he does deliver every season when he's healthy. Yeah. But is this the year where he doesn't get slowed down by anything? And if that doesn't happen... And Mark, you've been watching him since day one closely. If he gets through a season where he doesn't get dinged up and slowed down, I think he's a guy who could break the sack record by week 17.
I think it also, like, so you did have Clowney there for a couple years, but Za'Darius Smith alongside him, that helps. I think it's like you can't ignore the other side of the ball. And there have been a couple seasons where he was sort of an island, the lone guy, and getting triple teamed and still getting numbers. I do feel like there's a little bit of bias against the Browns in general. I've just through this whole exercise that we go into.
Let's get to that. We'll get to that.
I disagree.
Maybe not Myles Garrett, but the team.
Let's get to it. Offensive player of the year, Greg, did you sit out this year? I know you actually did it
for the first time ever, and I even got a response from our editors saying, wow, you did it this year. I did it for the first time.
I actually really... A difficult employee.
I have principles, and I stand by them until the one year I randomly don't.
For the new listeners, why don't you like Offensive Player of the Year?
Because it's just like...
As a concept.
Because it should be the best quarter. It's just the same as MVP, because MVP is always offensive. It should be the same thing.
It's like best picture,
but
best director.
I guess I've been convinced that it's just a nice way to honor someone else that's not a quarterback.
A minor tweak would be make Offensive Player of the Year a non-quarterback award.
Yes.
Absolutely.
There were a number of years. Manning was one year. There was a Rodgers year where the quarterback swept the same guy, and that was when I really was against it. But that hasn't been happening lately.
That should not be allowed.
I was a little surprised to see this, and the vote was split heavily on this one. So the leading vote getter only got 7 votes, and none of us here did it, but Kevin Patra did. Christian McCaffrey, I just, you know, he's just so, there's so many touches to go around there, and I know he's going to get plenty in San Francisco, but is he going to be able to stay healthy? You never know. Okay, so let's see. Where did I go? I went with Garrett Wilson. So there was my my Jet fandom coming through, maybe, but not really, because Garrett Wilson, to me, and I don't need to get into this because I've said it before, but when you watch him, he's one of those guys, he just jumps off the screen. And when the ball's in his hands, he's both smooth and violent in the way he runs, cuts, jukes. And now you pair him with Aaron Rodgers, and the chemistry is absolutely there. I thought it was a nice little moment in Hard Knocks when their last play together on the field, touchdown on a perfectly thrown Rodgers ball, and Rodgers went up to Garrett Wilson and said, first of many, bro. Aaron Rodgers knows he's special. That's good enough for me. If he stays healthy, I might have an onion hanger coming up when we do our sandwich props around Garrett Wilson. I'll hold it there. That was my pick. What did you guys go with?
Let's see. I went Jalen Hurts. Now, I'm with you. I kind of think if I could organize the awards a certain way, it would be quarterback
MVP. Did he or Justin Jefferson win it last year? I think it
Justin
was
Jefferson.
It's interesting. They're both 2,500 in Vegas, according to season.
It's just weird because, like, then why wouldn't he be the MVP?
Well, because there's someone else that very clearly could be the MVP. It shouldn't be two quarterbacks, but it is. So on this list, there is Justin Fields, Jalen Hurts, Aaron Rodgers, Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, Tua.
Chase got the second most amount of votes in Vegas. Chase and Jefferson and McCaffrey are the top three most likely. I went totally wild. I went Chris Olave.
Saw that.
I think this is going to happen? I mean, probably not, but I just thought it would be nice to throw him in the mix as someone to keep an eye on and that he would have a chance. I think he has a chance at like a 1,600 yard season. It's a bit of a long shot.
I like it.
Finally, yeah, that's a good pick. I think Olave was basically Garrett Wilson South last year. Guy that was just different and special right away. Most valuable player. All right, so in this category, Mark, you and I both went with the great Mahomes.
Yeah.
I went with Mahomes because, you know, these MVP awards, you see it, they are not afraid to go on runs with guys, the voters. They are okay with that. Brett Favre, I believe, won 3 in a row. We've seen other players. Manning won multiples. Players go on streaks. Brady, I believe, did it back-to-back, right, at some point?
No.
Did he never do back-to-back?
His three were pretty far apart.
Let me look this data up. But I thought if there's anybody...
Manning got a couple in a row.
If there's anybody who the Academy, as it were, would be willing to continue to reward excellence, it's this guy who's the face of the NFL. So I feel good knowing that Mahomes once again is going to put up monster numbers for the best team in football, the Super Bowl champs. That's my vote. Easy, but
I think he is the he just in the flesh he is, and you're right. It is the one category where it's like we don't have to come up with a different name every year, like Coach of the Year and all these other ones. Like it's just Mahomes, and it would be an upset to me if any of these other names won. But Greg, you went somewhere
else. Last year I nailed that MVP by choosing Mahomes, and I'm honking about it right now. And not that many people were picking Mahomes last year, so you don't want to be a year late. So I moved to my guy in the division, Justin Herbert. So this is the year that he's unleashed. Kellen Moore going down the field. Great offensive line. Great weapons. I really do think he's got a chance for a 5,000-yard insane statistical season. And he's not one of the bigger long – you know, he's like the fourth or fifth favorite in Vegas. So I'm not totally coming out of left field. But I went Justin Herbert.
Okay. And my long shot, we talked about it earlier or last week, Trevor Lawrence is a long shot I kind of like. I don't know. Did he get any votes?
No, not one. I'm a little surprised by that.
In Vegas, he's only the sixth or seventh most likely, which is not too low on the list.
Here is just for you history buffs out there. Joe Montana went back-to-back 89-90. Favre went back-to-back-to-back 95-96.
There you go.
Seven.
That's insane.
Hello, Larry. Let's see. Kurt Warner won 2 out of 3. Doesn't count. Peyton Manning went back-to-back. 03, he shared it with McNair and then won on his own in 04. And then Manning won it again back-to-back.
Wow.
08 and 09. And then it kind of bounced around a little bit until Aaron Rodgers went back-to-back in 20 and 21. So there is history. And Mahomes has never gone back-to-back, even though he's won it twice. So if anybody, if you were to set odds on, like, who's a guy that's going to have at least one stretch in his career where he wins back-to-back, come on.
Come on. Pat. Absolutely.
It's Pat. Bad sketch. How did a movie? We'll never know. We'll never know. I like Julia Sweeney. Fine.
She good actress. Talented, good comedian. Comedic actress. A funny woman, they'd say.
That was a big misstep by old Lorne Michaels. Venerable SNL.
Say the least.
For kids out there, It's Pat was a popular sketch on the show Saturday Night Live in the late 90s.
Early 90s.
Early 90s.
Maybe even mid. Okay, so there you go. That is all the award predictions. When we get back, season predictions, including our Super Bowl picks. Tease. We'll be right back. Oh, but before we do, reminder. ATN plus NFL plus. New shows every Monday and Thursday. The Monday show, it's our game of the week, where we dive in, watch it again together, share thoughts, insights, all sorts of good stuff.
It's like what you're watching Game Pass. You're going through the games because you enjoy watching the games again. And then you're like, oh, I'm not going to rewatch that game on Game Pass, which is also on NFL Plus, because I'm going to watch the heroes talk about it.
Yeah,
NFL Plus.
A lot of rules, a lot of guidelines, but I think you want to follow these ones.
Yes.
If you're a fanatic of the game.
Yes.
You do what Greg just said, that seven or eight things he told you to do. You go do that.
Well said, Mark. And on Thursday, it's going to be our Dreamatorium show. Lots of classic war horses of our show, favorite segments, and new ones, in addition to a fan outreach where we ask you, the fans, to deliver us, ATN, your most creative video submissions. Send them to atnfanoftheweek@gmail.com. If it's funny, if it's incisive, if it's weird, give it to us. We'll be right back.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Hey guys, this is Matt Jones, Drew Franklin from the Fade This podcast. We got a great episode coming up. Picks in all the sports, football, basketball, we do them all. But here's a preview of this week's episode. Do you think it's more embarrassing to dye your hair or to have hair plugs?
I don't think either are embarrassing if you're not trying to conceal it and act like you didn't.
Okay, so you think if you just come out and go, I got hair plugs.
Yeah, like check out these hair plugs. I mean, don't just walk around, hey, tapping, hey, stranger, I don't want you thinking this is natural. You know, but I mean,
do you have to do that with everyone you meet?
Some people try to act like they, you know what I mean.
Yeah, but I mean, like John Cena got him. You know, when John Cena came back to wrestling, he had a bald spot, and now he doesn't. Mm-hmm. You think he should be required in all interviews to say, look, by the way, I covered up my bald spot?
Yeah, I guess it's weird. I mean, you don't wear a sign or like put a sign in your yard, but.
All right, so what about toupees?
Those are the most obvious.
But let's say you're like Bill Self and you can get it to where it looks good.
His is magical. I don't even know if his is a toupee.
It is.
I think he went into the future and had a procedure we haven't even discovered yet.
And this episode was brought to you in partnership with DraftKings. To hear more, listen and subscribe to Fade This on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
All right, we're back. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Now it gets real. Because, you know, winning awards, Mark, that's an individual triumph.
Yeah, that would be focused on self.
But But the idea in the end is for the team collectively to be hoisting that Lombardi trophy. So let's talk about what really matters, success of the teams. We're going to go through the divisions, pick the division winners, also share our wild card picks, and then we'll get to the postseason. But let's start in the AFC, and let's do it. Let's start in the AFC East. Mark, who do you got coming out of this division as the champ?
This was the toughest division for me to sort through. I spent probably 18 to 20 seconds on this one. I went Bills.
Good.
Well,
delivery.
No, when you're filling this thing out, you're kind of just, you've been delivery. Thinking about this for months. Yeah. Just bang through these.
There's two ways to look at it. You could labor over it.
Right.
Or you're right. After all the kind of conversations.
Gut instinct.
I feel like I've been thinking about it. You think about it all off season, but I also had to contact the editors to change my answers multiple times.
Right? You are, Greg. I don't know what the, you know.
What did you go with, Greg?
I went with the Bills. This one I didn't.
From what? What did you change it from?
No, this division I didn't. Okay. Change. I mean, there were a couple other choices. It was the NFC wildcard situation. I kept going back and forth. We'll get to that. I felt good. I mean, I led my over-unders with the Bills, or I didn't lead it, but they were one of my picks of the overs. I just feel like they are one of the three or four best teams in the NFL still until I am shown otherwise. Taking them over your Jets. A lot of people took the Jets, though. That worry you, Dan?
More than ever in this exercise took the Jets. I would gamble.
So I think it was,
well, if you go all the way back to peak Rex era,
I don't think they had many people doing this back then.
Yeah. But even
sure
then, did
existed.
They have them going over the Patriots? Maybe that one year there was a lot of
maybe
hype coming
one.
Into it.
2010.
12 votes for the Jets and 20 for the Bills. That sounds about right in terms of, I'm surprised the Dolphins only got two.
Yeah. Yeah. Stunner. I went with the Jets.
Patra and Shook went Dolphins.
Yeah. And that's okay too, because I see the Jets, who are at plus 250, by the way, Dolphins plus 300.
You Bills could, plus 125.
You can make a case for either of those teams if things break the right way and then the Bills come down just a little bit. It's very interesting. And by the way, no votes for your darling Patriots, Greggy. But here's the good news. Someone that we respect very much, a former colleague, did pick the Patriots to win the division, Connor Orr. And he was met with furious blowback in the industry. Let's listen in.
Welcome back to a very recognizable show. Check in on Sports Illustrated's Connor Orr, who predicted every game on the schedule and has, well, what do you know, the Patriots winning the AFC East.
What?
Right. I do wonder whether upon the return of Bill O'Brien,
this is Connor's
the Patriots
writing.
Will assume that same kind of automatic competency. I like that. I like that a lot. That defined the majority. I would add large majority.
Really?
I would add almost all.
Vast
the time.
Majority?
Vast majority, yeah. Is even better. Of the Bill Belichick era. Brew, I didn't even write a question here. I was just going to pontificate. But do you have any issues with this?
Yeah. Connor Orr does good work, but this is ridiculous. This is absolute foolishness.
Oh. First things first, FS1.
That's got to be a drop.
Who's the gentleman, by the way?
That was
Chris Broussard.
Chris Broussard. I do love how he prefaced it with Connor Orr usually does good work. I don't know why.
That's a good way to, like, when you absolutely hate the take but don't want to, like, come off as a jerk. That was kind of a pro move.
I love you, Connor. You did it, and I think it could be a fun, spicy one. They're plus 800 to win the division, so it's a little crazy. But the craziest thing, and I'm just going to mention it now while we're talking pages, because we're not going to revisit it. They're not in any of our wild card picks. They were in any of the 36 respondents' wild card picks, 0-4 for these Patriots, and I can't hate on it because I didn't pick them either.
I don't think it's that surprising.
But I do like a little Patriots lying in the weed season.
Well, all right, that's fine. But, like, this is why I was surprised that I'm the only one that feels that Belichick's safer than perhaps you guys do, just because the team's not that great and the division seems to be very good.
He is the team. If they're not great, he is the most responsible person.
He could coach this team up and they could go 7-10, and it's not because he's bad at what he does. It's because, think about it.
Wait, hold on though. As a general manager, you'd have to say this overall roster is lacking.
Sure.
I think it's average.
But it's a very average. average team.
I think it's average.
Yeah,
I
don't average think it, is not great.
No, but I think it's.
But he's great.
But this is
doesn't he get the benefit of the doubt?
The reason we're talking about Belichick this year, particularly, it's relative to all the other seasons where he was as safe as any coach in any sport.
I should have put
it's, it's now Kraft has talked about this team this season. The Bill Belichick experience, the Matt Patricia experience, in a bit of a different way than we've ever heard him talk about Belichick. And I think, you know, these marriages come to a conclusion at times. This is a different feel, you have to say that, Dan, right, than in past years with Belichick.
I like the.
Of course. It's a different era now.
So that's why we
they're
talk
not special
about
anymore.
They're not. And yet, I should have, you know, I'm not showing my belief because I didn't put them as a wild card or anything. There's just so many good teams in the AFC. But I am. Honestly optimistic that they can surprise teams winning with the defensive personnel that they have and a much more efficient offense. It just would not surprise me at all if they beat end up ahead of one of these AFC East teams, the Jets or the Dolphins specifically, that end up being a disappointment.
Right. Well, one of these teams will probably lose their quarterback for the year. It's like, I see the Patriots like winning 8 games. They're not a disaster.
I think they have a chance to win 10 games this year. But I did not say it with my chest because or else they'd be in my list.
I am with you. I thought that last year, but I underestimated the Patricia disaster of it all. I think they're always lying in the weeds in that sense. And guess what? Bill Belichick's going to win Coach of the Year if they win 10 games this year.
He's never won.
I was very down on them last year. This year, I feel better. I feel better.
All right. Saucy. More on some of these teams in a bit. AFC North.
Mark just checked his clock.
Uh-oh.
I mean, there's also
no, I had a thing
a
show
clock
up on my
function in the
no,
corner.
A little, just like Siri started talking to you, a little thing showed up on my watch. So sorry about that. I looked at it.
Greg and I both went with the defending champs, the Cincinnati Bengals. As I said last week, no team has ever won this division 3 years in a row. The Bengals are looking to do it. Think they will. But that doesn't mean. Ooh, look. Oh, old Zeuser got the blurb in this one. They came to me for the blurb.
I love that.
Don't remember writing it. Why Dan Hansis chose the Bengals. The clock is ticking for the offensive core that surrounds Joe Burrow after back-to-back seasons of great success that fell just short. With urgency at an all-time high, Cincinnati balanced, battle-tested, and led by a true difference-maker quarterback will defend its division crown in a rugged AFC.
Rugged.
Core. Rugged.
Nice graph. What did you, you don't recall writing that?
I knocked it out yesterday. I do remember.
All right.
Tough schedule, but I think if I had to just choose one team, you know, just the Bengals to me feel like the safest, even more than the Chiefs. I really feel good about the Bengals coming into this year.
What's not to like?
Yeah. The division and the schedule, I guess.
Yeah. Or just some, you know,
but specifically, what's not to like about this team? Like, remember they won. They were steaming. They won 10 in a row last year. Once they figured things out and Burrow got healthy, I think it's going to be a very similar vibe. I think they're going to roll.
Burrow has, you know, MVP vibes. I think they just got to protect against like another slow start. I mean, the Burrow calf thing, kind of like freaks me a little bit, but he's practicing. Maybe he's fine as long as they manage that correctly.
And you took the Steelers.
You're in so deep with the Steelers now that you almost have no other choice.
I didn't do this as a trick or a folly. Like, I think they're going to win the division.
Well, you're one of 4 people out of 34 voters.
I think actually in the last couple of weeks, I'm starting to hear so much. I think the Steelers thing is becoming the vast opposite of original because everyone's starting to pile on and feel the Steelers
people
fever.
People put too much into the preseason.
It's true.
Well,
people
also,
are so on
wait,
fire.
I also
of
put
five
this into
drives.
It. Mike Tomlin with bad Steelers teams or down Steelers teams still pulls off 9 wins. This is a better version of the Steelers than we've seen in a long time.
Totally agree.
They didn't have TJ Watt for most of last season. I think their quarterback, like, I do put it into the preseason the way that Kenny Pickett threw the ball and looked.
Okay.
Well, that's a great point, Mark.
I feel like it's a runaway train now that because they were efficient on some preseason drives against
it has
vanilla
4
defenses
votes.
Of back.
Yeah, that's
not. I wouldn't call it a runaway runaway toy train.
In the end,
toy
they
train
still
track.
Got half the votes that the Ravens got. Who
the
got,
Ravens getting?
Maybe
eight,
I maybe I'm talking about
twice
you.
As
maybe,
much as absurd.
What about the Sessler curse though? That was very real last year. You took down multiple teams.
Well,
in,
that's
in
deep
gruesome
state. That's absolute like. You know, that's psychological warfare.
Like, if I'm a Steelers fan, I am furious by how excited you are about this.
It's a little uncanny.
And how about this?
Look,
how about
if
this,
I had
Greg?
That power, I'd leave the league and start, I'd build a house in the desert.
How about this? Greg, Mark, the ex-Browns fan, gassing up the Steelers.
Gaslighting.
In a reverse jinx for the ages.
I'm not gaslighting.
Gaslighting.
And those are hard air quotes for the listeners for Mark, the ex-Browns fan.
Well, what if I had to pick some team?
Reverse
in this division,
jinx, yes or no?
No. Yeah, well, hold on. Whatever team I pick in this division is a former hated foe. So
you've been down on the Ravens.
And you didn't pick the Browns, and nobody picked the Browns.
So that's
not a single voter thinks the Browns with Deshaun Watson could win this division.
Okay, so division's fine, but even we'll dig in later. It's like they just were largely ignored. I find that. I think there's got to be something.
By us.
Yeah, but I don't think they're making the playoffs, so no problem.
Division's a pretty
AFC is deep, 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 deep.
AFC South, not so deep comparatively. But 31 votes for the Jaguars. Greg is a special little boy, so he said the Titans.
I mean, why aren't you a special little boy when you've been making some of your out of left field?
Because, as I've said, that you do not like the Jaguars.
Well, I do think there's opportunity here. The Jaguars are a heavier favorite to win their division than I believe any team is in the entire NFL. I guess they're the same as the Chiefs. To win their division, that's too much to me.
And why is that, though?
Because the view of the Titans is so low, and then rightfully it's low of the Colts and Texans, so it's about the rest of the division. But to me, the gap between the Titans and the Jaguars, in all respects, is not that big. I don't think it's big coaching. I would actually take the Titans. I think the defense is really loaded, and I think Tannehill and Hopkins, we'll see. But I think the Titans are kind of the poor man's Steelers, whereas like even in their worst season, like last year, they still find a way to get 7. I think they get to 9 or 10, and I think that might be enough.
I think what we're seeing here with just 3 votes, including yours, is that the Titans have been probably prematurely totally written off. There's a couple reasons for it. I mean, they didn't fix some of their own problems. We've talked about the line. Their wide receiver situation is really variable. We don't know what we're going to get with Ryan Tannehill or any quarterback behind him. But the things you mentioned are consistent and real.
I am a special little boy. My mama.
You are a special little boy.
Does she still call you and tell you that?
I mean,
I know she listens to the show, so maybe she'll give you a call and say
just that. I don't know if she actually used those words, but that's the feeling she left me with, yes.
I think
it's a good feeling.
I think the window closed.
Great mom.
On this Titans team, and now they're in transition. And because the reason why I'm not feeling good about banging the under on 6.5 or whatever 7.5 is because of the reasons why what you're saying, Greg. I think your take is fair that there might not be as big a gap between the Jags and Titans for this to vote, for instance, to be that crazy 31-3 on NFL media. I hear you on that. But one team does have a potential generational quarterback entering year 3, really year 2, in Trevor Lawrence. And one has
Ryan Tannehill,
a 30-year-old running back who's going to the Hall of Fame.
Right.
Ryan Tannehill, who's aging and brittle at this stage, playing behind a bad offensive line.
All fair.
They got the tickle monsters on the defensive line. Don't get me wrong.
And I'm usually an offense is what I pick, and they are the offense, is the Jaguars. They are a great-looking offense. I hear you.
All right, AFC West, 32 votes. You are a special little boy, Greg.
Does it again.
32 votes, including Hanzus and Sessler go with the defending champion Chiefs, and it is the Bolts, according to Greg. Now you obviously don't actually believe this.
Of course, I do.
You getting a little shine on the Chargers. Maybe you'll get some tickets down the line. Maybe Jeremiah and Matt Money Smith reach out to you and say, "Hey, man, good job on that pick." Here, come by really my seaside estate, hang out for the weekend and the off season. There's definitely some motivating factors behind the scenes.
You have flipped off your internal PR campaign with the Rams and you've picked up the Chargers, Greg. This is extremely Machiavellian.
None of that is true. But
it is absolutely
you don't believe
deadly
it. As a veteran, I do believe it.
Tell me why the Chiefs are the best team in this division.
As a veteran takesman, though, I think you are hitting on something. Last year, you pick one special team that you really believe has a chance to do something special. For me, that was the Eagles, and you ride that.
Right.
Who's that special team this year? I mean, we'll get to the Super Bowl predictions and whatnot, but for me, it's the Chargers. And
like the 7th time in the last 9 years, it's the Chargers.
Sure, but it wasn't last year. I think this is going to be their year. I think their offense is going to be unlocked. I think year 3 of Staley gets better. I think the Chiefs and the Chargers in this division – I think this division's easier than the North and the East. I think they both have a chance to rack up 12, 13 wins. Maybe there's a little hangover effect from the Chiefs. I don't know. They've been so good for so long, it's hard to discount them. But I think the Chargers have a better chance to be like a top five team in the NFL than anyone's given them credit for. I love what I see. I know it's on paper. I know it's the offensive line, but I think they got the quarterback. They got the line. I'm rolling Chargers this year.
One thing that you see, one of the keys with Francesa, you have to have a bunch of pregnant pauses.
No, I talk too fast.
One thing that you're missing here. Okay. You're missing the fact that the Chargers always find a way. And so does Patrick Mahomes.
Mm.
Back after this.
That's pretty good. It's got to end at some point, you know.
So you got the blooper?
Even Belichick and Brady would
Rex
have
like,
years
I don't
that
care.
They
I'm just
going to
keep rolling through verbally.
The blurb selected. The man selected to write the blurb
How
for the AFC
these?
West. Skill. Mark Sessler.
I think that's right. Checking to see if I was still awake. I wrote, what fact, whisper, or iota of gossip suggests the Chiefs are about to be stopped? Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes will chop through a top-heavy AFC and route to another conference title game, and they won't stop there.
So he went even further.
He went too far, actually.
Actually, yeah.
Once again, spoiling.
What are we spoiling?
That's more the explanation for when you pick your Super Bowl teams. This was just AFC West, but yes.
Guess who will do what they want?
All right, so let's now go to our wild card picks.
Okay. This is fun.
All right, so I'm trying to think what's the best way to do this because this is a little hard.
Why don't we just each say our three
right,
wild
card
teams?
Go ahead, Greg.
Okay, so my wild card teams in the AFC in order. Now, since I put the Chiefs not winning the division, and in my vision, Chiefs and Chargers both win 12 or 13 games, something like that. So the Chiefs are my number one wild card team. I included the Ravens as my second wild card team. I do think their ceiling is extra high, and I think the offense is going to be special. And I, as my third wild card team, why am I forgetting right now?
I
put the Jets. I do.
Hey-o.
I kind of wanted to hate on the Jets, but I just don't believe it. I believe that they're going to be good enough on both sides of the ball. So they get in.
Okay. All right. I've got the Bengals as the first wild card team. There's no like disdain for the Bengals on any level. I think they're just going to get nicked by the Steelers. Chargers, second. Believe a lot of what you said, Greg. And Jets, third.
So, yeah, we're pretty chalky here. Even though I switched my teams around, they weren't crazy teams.
All right.
What about you, Dave?
I have, because I picked the Jets to win the East, but I still like the Bills a lot. Okay, so I have them as my first wild card. I have the Browns as my second wild card. And I'm one of the only people in the entire media group to even think they have a chance to even play January football.
Only four people put them into the playoffs out of 36.
Wow.
And I do have three teams coming out of the AFC North. I have the Pittsburgh Steelers as the third wild card team. So that means that I don't see the Dolphins or the Chargers getting that spot. And I feel pretty good about it.
I think we were all sensible. I like the Browns got some representation. I'm not in on it, but it seems to me they should be represented. It's interesting. None of us put the Dolphins in the playoffs. And it's funny because if we had taped this podcast in May, the Dolphins very well might have been my Chargers, that I just would have put it all. I was all into the Dolphins back then. And for some reason, by the time we got to the season, it just feels like there's 9 or 10 really good AFC teams, and the Dolphins, after a bad August, got left out. Maybe I'm overrating August.
But I think they're getting dinged because of this of the injuries in the past couple weeks in general.
It's like, who do I trust more, though, the Bills, the Jets, or the Dolphins? I trust the Jets more than the Dolphins. I just feel like they're on a little more stable ground. Who do I trust more? I trust Harbaugh and Lamar, you know, and I maybe I'm crazy, but I trust the Chargers too.
All right. NFC. Let's move over there now. The NFC East.
Nobody put the Patriots in. How dare they?
Nobody.
Including.
Interesting. Let's see. Mark Sessler, you have the Eagles defending their division. So do you, Greg Rosenthal. I was among 10 voters out of 34 to pick the Dallas Cowboys. And I think it's not crazy to think that the Cowboys can come up just a little bit and the Eagles come down a little bit. I think this is going to be a great division race. I think this is one of those Are they playing each other week 18? I hope they are. You always play your own division mate, because that would be incredible theater if that's the case.
And they're not heavy favorites, the Eagles. They're -125 and the Cowboys are +165. So not like a crazy gap. Kind of similar to the 24-10 votes gap, but yeah, I stuck with the Eagles.
What do we got, Roberts? What's the week 18 Cowboys schedule?
Eagles have the Giants in week 18.
What are they doing there?
They've got the Cowboys on Sunday night in week 14 and week 9.
Cowboys have Commanders week 18. Nice timer. Sweet.
Perfect. Okay. Greg, you picked
who's
the Eagles.
Who's sleeping back there?
And you got the blurb on NFL.com.
I mean, they know we're top shelf writers here, and they go to us in big spots.
Why Greg Rosenthal chose the Eagles, colon, go.
The Eagles have the best combination of offensive and defensive lines in football. Jalen Hurts is their quarterback. Let's not overcomplicate things here.
Greg's like, I'm getting out of this assignment in about 4.5 minutes tops.
I mean, less than that. That's for sure.
A minute and a half.
40 seconds.
All right.
You're like texting while driving and sending that in. Like,
I'm just like, why do we got to even explain it? Look at this team.
No, not a single vote for the Giants or the Commanders. Let's move to the NFC North. 20 votes for the Detroit Lions. So we are gassing up those Lions. Not all of us, though. Rosenthal's gassing them. Sessy is gassing them.
Oh, here comes the
with
special,
authority.
Here comes the
I am a
boy.
Special little boy because I am among the group of people. I thought I picked the Vikings, but I didn't. I picked the Packers, apparently. How about that? That surprises me. But yeah, I said it on our last show that I know everything kind of checks out for the Lions here. Certainly it feels like it's their quote-unquote time. But why do I think the Vikings and or the Packers, not so much the Bears, not yet anyway, but certainly even possible for the Bears, if everything broke the right way, come out of this as the division champ. I just don't like all the expectations on a Lions team that still has, I know, it's Jared Goff at quarterback. The offense played over its head a little bit potentially last year. I'm happy Ben Johnson's back there. But perhaps, just perhaps, the Lions aren't as good as we want them to be.
I think it's exactly. We haven't seen it. And the Lions are certainly the kind of team where just historically, like, I've attached myself to their caravan before and it's gone right off the side of a mountain.
But you stuck with them. And, you know, I've given you some grief and you stuck with them. You picked them. So I appreciate that.
I think they have the potential to be the best team in a very confusing division. I think this is a tough one to pick. Division.
It's not a good sign for the Bears that their only two votes were from Bears fans. Ollie Bunpuri and Adam Rank. You know, when they only get it from the fans. And I have noticed the odds have changed. 4 months ago, the Packers were behind the Bears in terms of odds, and people have been kind of appreciating the Packers' chances more and more. Although the Vikings, despite not getting many votes and not getting much love from us, they're actually the second favorite in this division over in Vegas.
Interesting. That means a lot of people in Chicago are gassing them up.
No, the Vikings are the second favorite. None of us gave them love, but the Vikings are still a second favorite. Packers.
Sorry,
third,
I was communicating
Bears
with our
fourth.
Producer.
You know, yeah.
I regret the error.
You're multitasking, and I think everyone would forgive you if they understood the weight of your task.
I'm sure there's a lot of Chicago fans that are also, quote-unquote,
like
gassing up the Bears.
Mark and I are on the same page with a lot of these teams.
I like that. You guys are on the same page on a lot of things in life, I find. Like, all right, NFC South. Now, let's get into it. Let's zero in on a team that we could all finally agree on. Have we had one division winner where we're all on the same side? Has it happened yet? I don't think it has.
No, because of Greg, essentially.
How about the Saints? I mean, of course we're going to get it with the Saints. Here we go. Hansus has them winning the division. That's it. Because you got, oh, God, the Falcons gas up crew here.
No, you went AWOL. You did the wrong thing.
Because I ain't gassing up the Desmond Ridder team.
So the Saints are the favorite. They're +105. They got 20 votes. Falcons +190. A little longer than I would expect. 12 votes, including Rosenthal, Sessler.
Maybe that gives you a little insight why I feel like I'm taking crazy pills in the studio every single week.
It's not that big a deal.
Because you guys speak about them like they could go 20-0.
No, they're the second favorite in the division, and they have a great it's somehow bigger than just like looking at the depth chart for me, for them. It's just a feeling of their organization that they're on the right path.
Yeah, I think this is a low octane division. If someone stays healthy and has a desire to absolutely take the top off of every other three houses in the division, that's what the Falcons are going to do. They're going to beat you up, Dan. And I get your exhaustion, but I think once you start to see them in the flesh, you're going to understand where we're coming
from. Here's the thing that's annoying to me the most, that I actually like what they're doing as well. And I was on that early in the spring. I was sharing that sentiment with you. Like, I
think
there are things here. You guys were premature in the first 2 years.
Congrats.
You were wrong, and
well,
I was
no,
right.
No. Hold on. That's incorrect. No,
you guys are gassing them up for 2 years under Arthur Smith.
Yeah. Wait a minute. We were saying that they were overachieving to some degree. Like, they won more games.
That's
than
people rewriting
would have thought.
History.
Absolutely not. Go back and listen to any of those episodes.
And now in year three of the program, I actually think they can matter. Instead of this cute little game you guys have been playing with the Falcons for years, I can't do it anymore because you guys are gassing them up so much that I have to pull back and bring some sanity to this
room.
Okay,
great. You know, congratulations. The Saints are the favorites. They're actually a pretty big gap between them and the Falcons. And then huge gap to the Panthers and then the Bucks, who are even further back. I figured
it's so
out,
hard to be me.
No. I figured out why Dan has always hated
hear.
The Falcons.
Let's hear.
Yeah, I'd love to hear this. Okay. This is going to be brilliant.
And let me take you back.
Clinical psychologist Greg Rosenthal.
You do. Let me take you back to London, October 2021. A young Dan Hansis is on the sidelines watching his little boy that will lead him. The hope, Zach Wilson. Oh, yeah, we finally found our quarterback, Zach Wilson. And he's going up against a moribund Falcons team who came into that game not looking too good. And he's on the side, and there's these big hulking men and this handsome young quarterback. Oh, this is the guy that's going to finally lead us into the future. And you know who comes out of that game? With a big win, pretty convincing, the Atlanta Falcons. And ever since then, he's held it against them.
How about you go find the tape of me being sold on Zach Wilson on this podcast?
Well, you had a T-shirt about him, didn't you?
Yeah, Zach is good or something.
If you guys understand that I have a sense of humor, yes, I did have that shirt.
We've really gotten under your skin in the last 10 to 12 minutes.
You have. I have been exceedingly patient. Bozos about the Falcons for years, and I just can't do it anymore. Start the games.
I love it.
Start the games.
Let's get to the NFC West. Wait, I think we all agree. I think we got one.
Finally, the San Francisco 49ers. We're all in lockstep.
Man, Greg, I thought you were going to go Seattle here.
No, I didn't believe it in my heart.
30 votes, NFL media, for the Niners. Just four votes, excuse me, for the Seattle Seahawks. Talk about trying too hard. The Niners just seem, I want Nick Bosa on the field, but even with that up in the air, I feel confident about this one.
Well, just the way that, like, last year, these two teams mostly intact and similar to today, San Francisco just seemed to completely solve Seattle.
And the fact that the Rams are a totally unknown situation, the Cardinals aren't even trying, it makes it then a Seahawks versus Niners, and who's going to... Unless you're a Seahawks fan, really feel like they're the better team right now.
Right. I think the Seahawks could be significantly more complete as a team, and they could even win more games. They won 9 last year. I think they could win 10 or 11, and I still think that's not going to be enough in this division. It's just a belief in the 49ers, is not a discounting of the Seahawks for me.
All right, let's look at our wild card picks. And yes, I have the Cowboys winning the NFC East, but it doesn't mean the Eagles are a flop this season. In fact, I think they're going to be very good again, which means they're going to get the first wild card in the NFC.
See, I didn't go there. I like to have my cake and I eat it too, Dan.
Chomp, chomp, chomp.
So I'm still high on those Seahawks. I make them my number one NFC wild card team, and I see a nice little name next to me.
Well,
I
picked the Seahawks too, and I filed this before Greg. So
kissing corner. Well, I wouldn't know what you filed.
Kissing corner.
Kissing cousins. What is it? The cousins.
The kissing
corner?
Cousins.
That was when
that was you and Wes.
Wes and I both were pro Kirk Cousins for a bit.
Wild card two. I have the Seahawks, so I feel good about the Seahawks as well. Not in the class of the San Francisco 49ers, but 10 wins. What do you got, Greg?
I mean, this is almost getting scary.
Yep.
I mentioned on our last show, actually, they were on the NFC. At first, I left the Cowboys out of the playoffs. This is where the emails started coming back. I had them in. I had them out. I had them in. It was stupid. I was trying to be too takey. Like, there's no reason not to believe that the Cowboys are going to win
Cowboys.
11 games.
Yeah, I got the Cowboys, too.
We had the exact same again.
You guys are basic.
What do you mean?
I mean, you're lockstep on everything.
I mean, but, yeah, just as a weird
I think we figured out how
about
really
think for yourself?
Unschool you. What? Like, so I should pick the Cowboys not in the playoffs? Give me a
here. We're going to disagree on this third
wild card.
I need you guys to disagree on something.
I have the Falcons in the playoffs twice now. I picked the Falcons as a wild card and a division.
That's not true. That's
wild card three. I surprised myself here. I did put the Lions in the playoffs. I have them third wild card.
Okay, so there's a lot of agreement. There are not too many crazy teams here. But I'm putting the old Commandos. I kind of
you love them.
Mentioned it earlier. Rivera. I think that line, that defensive line, I think Howell's going to be fun. I just think they're going to have a great spirit about them and find their way to 10 wins. They managed to win 7 or 8 games with Rivera these last 3 years, despite a lot of trouble. So I think they get that third wild card spot, keep his job.
I don't think that's crazy. I went Giants. I guess one thing that this isn't the same level of annoyance as you feel about the Falcons, but this everyone just looking at last year's Giants season, and I get it. Maybe inflated win total there. No problem. But, like, are they really well coached? Do they have some pieces? Have they added some pieces? Do they have a defensive coordinator I love? Do I love Brian Daboll? Like, Giants are my third team.
I'm glad you represented the G-men. Yeah. Who's to say they can't be building off last year? Why does it have to be, you know, they're cooked and Daniel Jones stinks? That's just negative talk.
So there's so many teams that got
the
multiple.
Exactly.
so many teams, including the G-men, that got multiple votes for that last wild card spot. It was really split. But actually, the team that got the most that would get the, in theory, consensus seventh spot was the Vikings among the voters.
That's actually, I thought, what I had emailed in, because I do have this weird feeling about the Vikings being better than people think, because everyone, kind of like the Giants, and they were similar in that they were both kind of very fortunate in one-score games in a way you don't usually see. But yeah, I think the Lions are a better team probably at this point.
Saints got 7 total points, Packers 6, Bears got 4 people voting for them for the last spot. And yes, that Rams employee MJD is one of 2 people to put the Rams in. The Saints are the team that I had in multiple different versions of this and kept taking in and out, in and out, in and out.
So do you have the Cowboys?
I have the Saints out. None of us have the Saints in, and Saints Twitter is going to come after us because they're so high.
I have the Saints winning the NFC.
I don't even check Twitter, so find me in a different mailbox. Please.
So do you have the Cowboys in third place or last place?
Second,
in the NFC?
Second. No, I had them at second. My second wild card.
Oh, they are the second wild card.
Commanders.
Okay.
Commanders are in the playoffs as third place.
I mean, if MJD's vision here, maybe some sort of mushroom vision, comes true in the Rams or in the playoffs, like that would be one of the weirder stories after this offseason.
Well, it is. It reminds me of the year coming off Baker's good year in Cleveland that there was like 4 Browns fans who all picked them to make the Super Bowl or AFC Championship, and you were one of them. Joe
Freddie
Thomas
Kitchens, the Freddie
was,
Kitchens
was one
era.
Of them as well, yes.
I won't make fun of that because we're not done with this episode yet. If you have the Cowboys,
we gotta go.
The Eagles and the Commanders all in the playoffs, what do you have the Giants at? 1-16, 2-15, Greg, this year? And it's almost like in a little bit of an agenda there.
I don't feel good about my Giants over-under that I put out there. I really don't. I regret it. And because I got bleeped out with one of my other over-unders. 42, but guess what?
46. 42. 46.
Oh, that's Greg's inner 42, monologue.
46. 42.
Go ahead.
46.
What is that? The 2 of the best years of my life. 42 has already happened. 46 is coming.
Yes,
I don't
that's
know.
That's what it is.
I don't know.
Go ahead.
Are we doing Super Bowl picks? Can I go to them? Because I know you tried to bleep me out here with the Chargers over under, but now we know we're going over because we're putting them in the Super Bowl. Let's go, Bolts. I'm going to have them lose, though, to
You've
the Eagles. I'm sticking with the Eagles. So the Eagles, I'm sticking with them, but they win over the Chargers. And finally, in the end, someone takes down Justin Herbert. But Eagles, Chargers, 2 next-gen quarterbacks on the biggest of stages in Vegas. Walker Rosenthal will be watching.
Wow.
Hopefully.
The Los Angeles Chargers in the Super Bowl.
I think they're that talented. I think they are a top 6.
What a
team
story, right? That would be going from blowing a 27-0 wild card playoff lead.
Let's go.
And losing.
Yes.
Having what many people believe to be a coach that's in and over his head.
Yes.
And then to turn it all around.
Let's go.
And go all the way to the Super
team,
Bowl.
Like way back when, there was a team that had a magnificent regular season and were completely upset and stunned by the Jaguars in the playoffs. The late 90s Broncos, they came back around and Mike Shanahan the next year devastated the league and won the Super Bowl.
Is he going to do it? I'm going to lock. Wait.
I'm not picking the Chargers to do anything close to that. I'm just saying that would be. No, that would. No, I'm not, the Broncos are not going to the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah, the Broncos didn't get anywhere.
You want mine? I got the 49ers.
Okay.
Taking out the Chiefs.
Mm.
Revenge. Finally, Kyle Shanahan gets it. It's going to be Brock Purdy. He's going to go wire to wire. They're going to have a 77-yard pick six of Mahomes with seconds to go in the fourth quarter and win the game.
Love it.
Wow. You got
love when you get detailed like that.
Specific. It is sort of lost to history, I feel like, somewhat, that the Chiefs were down 10 points in the fourth quarter.
Not just down 10 points.
They were down 10 points to the Eagles, too, at halftime.
Mm. They have Jimmy G has an open man downfield, Emmanuel Sanders, fourth quarter. If he hits the pass, it's over, Johnny. I mean, it is over, 24-20, and he misses him and leaves the door open for the great Mahomes, who wasn't even having that great a game at that point.
All right, 49ers finally get it done. That would be really...
Well, in my fantasy world.
Impressive after being to the NFC Championship game, what, 3 out of the last 4 years, and to keep coming back. That is an incredible organization when you keep getting back.
You know, someone's voice I haven't heard in a while, and I miss him. And I hope everything's cool, because I thought he would be at the Hall of Fame, where two Jet greats were inducted, and then they played the Hall of Fame game against the Browns. And then I thought we'd see him on Hard Knocks, but we did not see him on Hard Knocks. Let's hear from Joe Namath.
I think we got a heck of a shot of winning. We beat anybody in the world, and I think we're going to win next Sunday.
Yes, Namath is on the hot seat. Most of the pressure is on him. He has said that the Jets are going to win. He doesn't even predict it. He said, I guarantee a Jet victory.
Mm. Attitude is a whole lot in life. And I had a terrific attitude about that game.
I know we're going to win. I have that attitude. I feel that way. And it's not overconfidence thing. It's football sense.
Talking about guaranteeing we're going to win. Yeah, that's right. That's the way we felt.
That's the way we felt. 55 years this January, Joe Namath guaranteed Super Bowl III over the heavily favored Baltimore Colts. 16-7 win, altered pro football forever. I've got news for you. We're going to win the game. I guarantee it, was his quote by the pool. A young Brent Musburger was there.
Sure.
Amongst other reporters. Aaron Rodgers in 2024. Samesies.
Mm.
Now, that wouldn't be as impactful.
Samesies is the quote.
Aaron, we'll get an edit on that.
He's too well-spoken for that.
It's, I said on the Hard Knocks podcast, it's time. It's been time.
Wow.
And so many things have to happen to fall into place, but it does for so many other teams. The Chiefs waited forever. The Eagles waited forever. And it happened for them. Now it's time for the Jets to end their tortured half-century drought, get back to the Super Bowl, and if you're going to go to the Super Bowl, win the damn thing. You can't get to the Super Bowl and not win, and I think they will. On Hard Knocks, he was like the guy that looked into the future. And he predicted...
The Mentalist.
The Mentalist predicted Jets 31, 49ers 21. That works for me. We back, baby. Jets finally win the Super Bowl. And Aaron Rodgers is a legend to rival any New York hero that's ever lived. Why not us? And you say, Dan's setting himself up. Oh, Dan, blah, blah, blah. I always thought if I ever got to the Super Bowl as a fan, not just winning the game, we've been up close for years, that fun, that two-week break between the games and all the fans that flood into the city, that's part of the glory as well, like that build-up to that game. I just want to experience that once. Even this offseason, when Rodgers got there at the end of April, like people are saying like Jets fans are getting in over their skis and getting so excited. That's okay. Like, we've been able to enjoy this summer and express hope and optimism, but that's all in the past now. Now we need to see results, and man, the logic checks out. Now we just need it to happen.
I mean, why do you do all this if you don't have those 2 weeks, if you don't have that moment? Patriots fans have had it multiple times to the point where it's like it all becomes almost normalized on some level. I'm not speaking for you, Greg, but like for a Jets fan, it isn't even just you haven't been there. You've been a laughingstock. You know, you have to defend your team in our newsroom all the time, out at taverns and bars. When people find out you're a Jets fan, they giggle at you behind your back. Like, this would end
all
that.
Not just behind my back.
Right in front of your face. But I actually think, after all we've been through on this show, too, you've done you could have been hyper annoying about the Jets during all this. I don't think you have been. I think you have been kind of stoic about it. It's like, that would be a pretty incredible sports journey. And I think the most winding, bizarre, unbelievable NFL tale that I could imagine. So I would love to see it. Your dad, I mean, give me a break. Think about not just your sons, because they have a long, long time to see what happens with the Jets. Like, your dad has been waiting and waiting. I would hope he'd be your guest at that game. I'm pretty sure he would be.
Oh, you know he would be.
Yes, stoic would not be the word I would use to describe Dan's fandom of the Jets, and I love him for it.
Well, I just mean, like, these couple months, you haven't been, you know, going nuts.
And I'm,
been,
you know,
part of that is defensive.
Sure.
Yeah, there's so many outcomes that work against this happening. Well, that makes sense as well.
It's one little fun subplot of the season, because I'm looking back there at our producer, Eric Roberts, with his Bills hat on. Is that a Bills hat?
Yep.
Old school Bills hat. And I'm thinking, how many of these teams in the AFC feel just like those Jets fans? If you look at who have the best quarterbacks, long tortured fan base waiting for their title, the Buffalo Bills. A long tortured fan base with a great quarterback, the Cincinnati Bengals, who are just there. Not a great franchise, but a tortured fan base with great quarterbacks, the Los Angeles Chargers, who I have in the Super Bowl. Like, there are a lot of
I can't believe
great
I'm saying this, but Dolphins fans have been waiting a long time.
They have had a rough road.
A lot of great possible stories with great, great players leading them in the AFC. There's going to be a lot of disappointment, but that's why we're bored of the Chiefs. We got to get someone else.
And what's a little bit annoying is Browns fans. Like, and that's what complicates their situation.
Yeah.
Is that's the one fan base that feels like you can't really feel the same way for, but they made their bed and they picked their quarterback to try to get over the hump, but complicated their situation.
That would be a very different 2 weeks.
I think you're right. All right. We got everything?
I mean, yes. We famously thought the show was going to be about 20 minutes shorter. So, Mark, apologize to your children who are waiting on the street corners right now.
This episode in full.
I'm an absolute professional and rearranged some plans while we were doing the show. I have had absolute blast.
Really?
Yes.
He's no like, problem. Colton, remember that day I told you, I taught you how to drive in case of emergency? Just use that leg
sitting
extender.
Sitting on three phone
I don't
books.
Know how, yeah, I don't know how exactly it works.
Leg extenders. All right. We are done for today, but just starting off a huge week as we steam towards the Thursday night opener between the Chiefs and the Lions. We could finally stop talking about what's to come and experience it all until.
Got that Hard Knocks recap finale.
Finale tomorrow. Big Wednesday show after that, then the preview. It's all happening. Heed the call.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from undercover tourists. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from undercover tourist and authorized seller and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with undercover tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.